You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins.
What?
And what you will hear in the next little bit is different than how we do most of our podcasts.
Yes.
Because we pre-recorded an interview with Lecrae Moore, who's better known just as Lecrae.
Yes, Lecrae.
And
do you ever want to be just Barnabas? Like if
just the one name thing?
Just the one thing.
Go by like Yanni or something.
You don't think Barnabas would work?
It could. There's not very many of us. Todd would be tougher to pull off.
Todd.
But
Todds are usually odd. I mean, they're usually either dorky cool or in the 80s they were presented as the preppy guy who
yeah,
was like, a jerk.
Yeah, the sweater tied around his neck.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen a Barnabas portrayed in film.
You need to see Dark Shadows. There was a vampire named Barnabas Collins.
Really?
And I once had an interviewer call me Barnabas Collins. That was a little fun. I didn't even correct him. I just rolled with it. Middle-aged women love Barnabas Collins. But enough digression. So Lecrae is our guest.
Yes.
And Lecrae. The thing that we... So a little quick bio on Lecrae, like we always give. Lecrae is a Billboard chart-topping hip-hop artist. He is the co-founder of Reach Records. And... So he's a Christian hip-hop artist, but he has massive appeal across what would be traditionally called the secular music market. And we here at LifeWave had the privilege of working with him on a book that is releasing in May called Unashamed. And we have Todd's going to tell you a little bit about the book, but I wanted to highlight unashamedbook.com. Because if you go there, you can pre-order the book, which is what we're asking all of our listeners to do. And it's not just pre-ordering a book so that LifeWay gets stuff and Lecrae gets stuff.
You get stuff.
You get a free t-shirt. You get a free song download. So from a forthcoming album. And then you get a chance to attend a concert event with Lecrae. So if you should be going to his concerts, you'd be able to sort of do a meet and greet in advance.
Yeah, it is a concert style shirt. I mean,
right.
It's not...
Yeah,
it's a Reach.
This is not
design.
This is not some Lord's Gym 1990s ugly Christian T-shirt. This is
no.
I would happily wear this shirt.
Not surplus.
But if you go to unashamedbook.com, you can see that we're not making this stuff up. But Todd will tell you a little bit about what the book is and what the content is and why it matters.
I mean, you guys know that I tweet through books, and I did have my hands on a copy. I think I was the first person in the building. To have my hands on a copy, and that was over Christmas break. And so I've gone through it a little bit. I'm trying to restrain myself for a full tweet through. But, you know, as of late, I've dropped a few of his bars down on Twitter. So,
for you less hip-hop oriented people, dropping bars is like making music.
It is.
Or sharing lyrics.
Yes, yes. So he says, a couple of the great things from the book and really, what you'll hear in the upcoming interview are things like, maturity. His whole deal is maturity is not how much you know. It's how much what you know has changed you. And in part, that's part of what the book is and what the book's about. Talks about the importance of knowing who you are. But the big thing is it's really his life story early on, and some of you probably already know what that is a little bit. But it's him basically talking about when he was far from God, and I mean it's just a massive testimony, really. Before I know Christ, coming to know Christ, and now who I am after Christ, and it is rich with great content, about. Really, how to engage culture. If you see where he sees himself, it is truly, standing with one foot in the church and one foot in the culture and saying, hey, it's not because of Jesus, we don't need to see culture as something to be avoided. It's something to be engaged. and how we engage culture.
And yeah, and Todd brings up that quote to ask him about it in the interview, and he has some really insightful things to say. And that's one of the things that I would just mention about this. This is not a book to get because Lecrae is famous. He's an artist. He's a lyricist. He's a theologian. He's a teacher. And that all comes through in the book. It's not just a famous person telling his story, no. And we should all be sort of voyeuristic about it. It's really none of that.
It's about living an unashamed life, which is kind of his story, his mantra, you know, 116. It's if you're living for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection. And it's not just because you're a hip hop artist. It's because whoever you are, wherever you are in life, it is just as true for us as it's true for, you know, any celebrity or anyone out there.
And so, again, unashamedbook.com, that's where you can pre-order. That's where you can get your T-shirt. You can get access to that pre-concert. Goodness, you can tell what world we live in.
There's a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah, a little bit of a difference. This involves music, not people standing at podiums talking. Yeah, and fun and rhythm. And so go to unashamedbook.com, check that out, pre-order your copy before the end of March. That's when the pre-order special stops, so move fast. And without further ado, here is our conversation with Lecrae.
So the first question really is, who are you learning from at this time?
Who am I learning from? I'm learning a lot from just one of my personal mentors, James White out of Cary, North Carolina. You know, just looking at the lives of a lot of people historically and how they interacted in culture, you know, that could be anybody from, you know, C.S. Lewis to Martin Luther King. So it's just a long laundry list of people.
So when you mention people who are interacting with culture, is that primarily because the space that you're in as a Christian artist, but with significant crossover appeal into, you know, just kind of across the music market, you're looking at people who can give some guidance on kind of being in that space where you have a foot in the traditional secular world and a foot in the traditional Christian world?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. Just seeing how their desire was to be kind of in a living stone, a testimony in culture, and not to kind of be isolated and create their own world, but to engage and to demonstrate, I mean, you know, really to kind of lead in a lot of the cultural fields that a lot of the fields that really shape and change, you know, our society, and they wanted to lead in those areas. And so I'm looking at their lives.
So I already have an advanced copy of the book. And, you know, one of the quotes I think that's pulled out is because of Jesus, we don't need to see culture as something to be avoided. It's something to be engaged. You want to break that down just a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times we think it's something that's going to get on us and corrupt us, so to speak, and not realizing that, you know, culture is all around us. You know, we create it in our homes, you know, our cities, our schools, and it's all around us. What we're looking at is kind of aspects of it that are used in derogatory or depraved ways. Instead of trying to engage those and demonstrate a different way to do it, we just kind of leave them to their own devices. So we'll just say, politics is corrupt. I don't even want to deal with it. Instead of saying, sure, there's corruption in politics. What if we engage it to change some of that corruption instead of being, you know, scared that it'll, you know, just ultimately corrupt us. And I think that's a legitimate fear in some circumstances, but you can't just leave things to their own devices. It's like saying, you know, marriage is just a corrupt institution. There's no point in trying to fix it. It doesn't make sense.
What's a timely word about politics, given the presidential primaries that are going on right now and everything? Let's hit our second question. You may have already started to answer this. And that is, what is the main point of emphasis in your leadership right now, either for the team that you work with or for yourself? And I realize leadership for you might look different than maybe what people often sort of stereotype, because you're an artist, And you do kind of head up Reach Records or co-lead it, but you lead in multiple contexts. So what's the main point of emphasis for your leadership right now?
I think it's wrestling with tensions and showing how we wrestle with tensions. I think everyone's searching for balance, but balance, I think, is an idealistic pursuit. I think tension is better. Because you'll never have this complete yin and yang or balance of anything. But I think if you can wrestle with the tension in leadership, you do well. So for me, it's, kind of like the trellis and the vine, the idea that, you know, you build this trellis. The trellis is only useful if there's a vine being cultivated to grow in it. And the vine without the trellis, you know, just it doesn't
just lays
the
there.
Opportunity to grow. Right. You know what I mean? So it's that tension that you're constantly existing in. And that's kind of the point of my leadership here now, the emphasis now.
When you talk about trellis and vine, I mean, there's, I've heard that in a church context where it's talking about structures and then sort of the growth that the spirit brings and that sort of things. Mm. What does it look like in your leadership context? Will you use those terms? What are you thinking of specifically?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there is that aspect of it, of infrastructure and building. You know, you got with the label, there comes tours and buses and negotiations and marketing strategies and plans. But then there's also a sense of, you know, for what, you know, what are we ultimately trying to do? And I think our goal is to change the way people see the world. We want people to see things from a different worldview, a different perspective and vantage point. And if we're not cultivating that, we're not just here to make CDs. We're here to engage and challenge and inspire people toward hope and to ultimately see, you know, the Lord working in our lives.
Well, let me ask you, you mentioned tensions right off the bat, and I loved what you said about tensions as opposed to balance. One of the tensions that any Christian business person, which you would fit in that category, finds themselves in is that tension between, you know, selling product, moving product, making profits, mm-hmm. and doing ministry, doing it for mm-hmm. for the right reasons, keeping the heart in it. How do you, I was about to say, how do you balance that? But I realized that's not how you phrase
what
it.
What tension do you struggle with?
How do you deal with right. that tension, I guess?
Yeah. One is a lot of transparency, internal transparency, both with the executive leadership and then also with the staff, because I think vision leaks. If you don't kind of reiterate what we're in it for, people will tend to forget and we just kind of drift toward knocking out goals. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cultivating that environment internally so that it bleeds out externally. And so for us, we're constantly reminding our staff through devotions and reading letters that, you know, people may have written in about how they've been impacted by what we're doing, so that there's a sense that, man, we're not just, you know, sending emails and you know, making orders, but we're dealing with real people and real lives who go through real things. And that helps us to stay reminded of, you know, that this is not just about making the numbers every month.
Well, with that growth, I would think growth in business, growth in the reach of your ministry and the reach of your personal voice. What obstacles are you facing? Because, you know, we talk about that tension, and I think that's a good time for us to ask the third question we always ask, and that's what obstacles are you currently facing in your leadership? And that can be your organization or that can be personally.
Personal. Yeah, I think personally it's really kind of knowing my space. You know, I'm in a lot of uncharted territories a lot of times. And so it's really kind of knowing where I'm supposed to go and what turns do I make and how far, you know, do I walk on off of this particular ledge. And so it's a lot of, you know, really trying to be led by the Spirit and have a good understanding of how to navigate a lot of these waters. You know, you're in the studios with some of the biggest producers in the world and you know, there's just a different culture that you're trying to think through and wrestle through and talk through. And so there's those personal obstacles. And then of course, you know, Christendom and Christian culture is, it doesn't allow for a lot of nuance. You know, it's very black and white. And so it's dealing with, like, listen, guys, you know, I could tell you some stories that will probably make you say, I can't support this guy anymore because it's far too nuanced. You know, like, why did you let the, you know, guy in the Middle East continue working in his Muslim context after, you know, he said he was a Christian? And it's kind of like, man, it's not as black and white as you'd like to think that it is in a lot of circumstances. And so,
let me ask this, because it sounds like one of the things that you're saying is how important, or let me just ask the question, how important is it to know who you are before you're put into those situations? You're being put into situations all the time now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the biggest piece of it is having the confidence to know, like, you're really following in the footsteps of Jesus in a lot of ways, because he was, you know, they wanted him to be a political leader. They wanted him to, like, hey, come on, step in and tell these Romans what's what. And he said, that's not my mission. And it's hard because I know I have compassion for you all as you're yelling, Hosanna, become our political leader. You don't get it, that the kingdom that you're looking for is completely different than the one that I'm advocating. And so I think there's that element of people not quite understanding the realm and the role that I'm assuming, because they don't know the different details that we have to navigate through. And so, you know, that's huge. And then, you know, on a personal level, but then there's also just the amount of scrutiny that social media and media brings to the table, and everyone feels like they're involved and they know things and they're part of everything and tend to forget what ultimately matters. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, even difficult for an individual to say, wait a minute, this is not the ultimate, like, having, you know, the praise of people is not what I'm in this for.
Well, you've alluded to it a little bit, just some of the positions you're in and how those create some challenges in a Christian context. I know that you have faced a large amount of criticism, much of it unfair and unwarranted. And at the best, that's a nuisance. At worst, that's a significant obstacle in terms of your leadership. You even could potentially be an obstacle in terms of faith and your engagement with the church. How have you handled just criticism at large? I'm not thinking of a specific instance, but just the things that will roll down on you when you are forced to make a decision to say, I'm going to try to follow Christ. I'm going to try to lead like Christ would have led culturally, different kinds, different instances. How do you handle the criticism when it comes?
Yeah. One is having a very tight-knit circle of friends who remind you who you really are and what you're really about versus kind of circles of people who, you know, are not, you know, who don't really know you, you know what I mean? And so, having those friends, those close-knit circle of friends who can say, you know, Cray, look, man, this is not, like, you're fine. You know, don't concern yourself with it. They don't understand this, and this. And you're kind of like, okay, that's true. Right. So, mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just having, you know, a support group and family and friends who really understand the difference, you know, circumstances and situations that, you know, that you're having to deal with. And that's helped a lot.
Well, that makes a big difference. You mentioned having family and friends, and I think that leads us into our fourth question really well. And we kind of take a turn away from the public sphere into the private and just ask, what does leadership in your home look like?
Yeah, it's, well, one, you know, for me, it's on a practical level, it's being present. You know, it's when I'm home, and mm-hmm. I'm not anywhere else. So, you know, if I walk in the house, I turn my phone off until my kids go to bed a lot of times, just because there's no need to engage the outside world. I'm here now. This is the
world.
How many,
I need to engage. How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three kids, okay.
Eight, seven, and four. And then, you know, even with my wife as well, it's kind of like just coming home and paying her attention and focusing on her and the kids, and just trying to say, this is what is important right now, and everything else has to come, has to pause. And, you know, and also remembering that just because people see you from afar as this kind of solidified great leader, like at home, that, you know, all that stuff goes out the window. You know, my kids are not impressed.
Amen.
That's right.
So nobody's impressed with any of that stuff. And so, you know, it's kind of a sense of really stepping into that and really being vulnerable, being real, being approachable, and not being too full of myself, you know, at home and looking for my validation to, you know, look something like it looks outside of my house.
How do you balance or deal with the tension? Sorry, no balance. of the, you know, the impact that being a public figure has on your home, because a lot of leaders are not really public figures. They're known in their organization. You know, you get some pastors who might be more well known or national speakers. You're in a situation where you're a very public figure. Your music has been very successful. We anticipate the book being very successful. That is your ministry. It's in that public sphere. So how do you deal with that tension, or either in sort of protecting your home from it, or in helping your family engage it and just sort of learn how to work through it?
Yeah, I try to keep as normal profile as possible at home. You know, really not talking about a lot of the stuff that goes on, not trying to, you know, keeping my kids out of pictures and things like that. And mm-hmm. just to keep a sense of normalcy. I don't really think it's healthy. You know, I don't think the whole idea, the celebrity culture we have, is really healthy, because I think it can unfairly exalt people to standards that they could never hold up in real life. And so I don't want my kids to have to fall victim to that, to have to feel like I've got to be this perfect kid because I'm daddy's kid, you know, I'm Lecrae's kid, or, you know, my wife to feel like I have to, you know, be this fountain of similar wisdom or in areas of cultural engagement or anything like that. My wife, that's not her, you know, strong point. Mm-hmm. So, so for them, I want them to be comfortable being who they were created to be, and not have to feel like they have to, you know, be anything because of what's been created around me. And I'm really just trying to keep a lot of that away from them. We're very particular about who comes in our home, very particular about a lot of different things, and try to hide certain things from, you know, I don't want people knowing, oh, that's Lecrae's son, or that's, you know, this must be Lecrae's wife, or anything along those lines, because it's kind of unfair to them. They didn't sign up for that.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I think I may already know the answer to this question, and it may be I wrote a book about it. but our fifth question is, what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead in life?
I think I would say, 20-year-old self, I think I would say, you know, be gracious, you know, and really understand and walk in grace, because you're going to need it for others. You're going to need it for yourself. And probably to really, you know, hone in on character, you know, because character is everything. You just put in a lot of situations that will constantly test your character. And I think if you really hone in and develop the right kind of character, you can survive a lot of these waters that seek to test you. And I would just say, man, develop and cultivate intimacy with God, because that's, end of the day, that's all you're going to be able to depend upon, is that intimacy and that relationship.
And like Todd alluded to, you do tell pieces of your story and in the book, Unashamed. And so for listeners, you can get much more of the picture there. But I wanted to ask a sort of a specific question about thinking about 20-year-old self to where you are now. At 20, you were not an artist who was nationally known. That sort of just, I want to say, organically grew over time. It wasn't something that you you manufactured in any way. At least from the outside, that's what it appears like. So do you feel like that sort of organic growth of influence puts you in a position to be stronger now because it didn't come too soon, because you weren't overwhelmed before you were ready? As a 20-year-old, as a 21-year-old, those kind of things?
Oh, hands down. Hands down, I'm extremely grateful. I had a lot of time to develop, a lot of time to grow. I'd have been wiped out a long time ago.
Most of us would.
I no telling what circumstance or situation I'd be in had everything happened this fast. And, you know, you see it happen over and over again with professional athletes and, mm-hmm. and entertainers, or things happen for them at a young age and they're very talented in one particular area, but they're not developed in any other areas, character being one of them. And so, you know, their talent takes them places that they, you know, that their character can't handle, and their, you know, their ego writes checks their character can't cash. And I'm grateful that, I've been able to be developed in a lot of ways to where even to the point to where when I do make mistakes and I do have shortcomings that, you know, I'm able to kind of bounce back. I'm able to kind of see the error and make adjustments, because they're not so grave, or I'm not so terrorized by them that I just, you know, immaturely throw my hands up and quit. So
I think it does go back to what you were saying earlier about knowing who you are. So knowing who you are, and figuring out that, you know, in the last decade has really made a difference on, where you are and knowing who you are in your present circumstances.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I wanted to draw that point out a little bit just to hear what you had to say about it, because especially for our younger listeners, there's a lot of impatience when they look at somebody like you who has a career path that looks very shiny from the outside, and where you're at is a place that people would love to get to, but realizing that faithfulness to God and letting that come over time sets you up for success so dramatically better than trying to manufacture it and chase it down before you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Lecrae, we appreciate your time. We know that you have another interview coming up in just a few minutes, and you probably have about 25 interviews coming up over the next few hours. But we appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk leadership with us, to talk a little bit about Unashamed. And so thank you. We are excited about the release of the book, and all of our listeners, you should go get it.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and watch a short demo video. For participating, you will get a free 30-day trial for your entire church. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.